Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Are on You Better You Bet with Nick Kostos.
Hey, this is Joe Buck, and you have done it. You have found it. You are listening to You Better You Bet. Great decision.
Hi, this is Kevin Harlan of CBS, Westwood One, and TNT, and I'm listening, as you do every day, to You Better You Bet with the most handsome single man in the radio business. A man who, if I was not married for 38 years, I might consider myself the kind of guy that can electrify a listening audience and a crowd of bystanders watching him do what he does so well each and every day. Continue to listen right here on You Better You Bet.
This is You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports, brought to you by BetMGM.
The tremendous Football Thursday edition of You Better You Bet rolls on. Nick Kostos, our amazing crew, and to whoever the hell you are, here on Westwood One Sports. First hour of the show, all of my thoughts and bets coming up for Wild Card Weekend in the National Football League, and why I think, and I'll ask Danny Cannell about this over the course of the interview we'll have with Danny coming up in a moment. If the Buffalo Bills lose on Sunday in Jacksonville, Sean McDermott can't even be on the plane ride home. And John Harbaugh should be the next head coach of the Bills before the plane lands in Western New York, if that happens coming up on Sunday. And I also told you why. I think the Trey Young trade from Atlanta to Washington to the Wizards is the rare win-win trade in sports. Pro sports bettor Joey Kanish will join us in 40 minutes. His bets for the college football playoff, joining us right now. Friend of the show, friend of mine, one of the best, hashtag one of us. I remember spending a couple Saturdays with Danny at CBS back in the day, like sweating out Hawaii first quarter bets, like just absolutely the best. Former college football quarterback, NFL quarterback, one of the hosts of what I think is the best college football podcast, the Cover 3 podcast, courtesy of CBS Sports, with our friends Chip Patterson, Tom Fornelli, and Bud Elliott, CBS Sports HQ, and the co-host of Dusty and Danny, along with Dusty Dvorak, another friend of the show, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, Sirius XM Channel 84, the great Danny Cannell on Twitter, at Danny Cannell. And Danny doing great work on behalf of our friends at BetOnline. Check out betonline.ag for updated college football playoff semifinal game and championship lines, along with the plethora of college football playoff props. I will just say this, BetMGM sponsors our show. I would like for everyone to bet at BetMGM. Danny's coming on the show. We do the Bet Online read for Danny. Thanks for joining us, buddy. Happy college football playoff semifinals, my friend.
Appreciate it, Nick. It is great catching up with you. It's great to see your face. It's been a minute. You are the reason I am with CBS Sports HQ, because I remember my first time down there taking a little visit to the Fort Lauderdale studios. You were with the company at the time. We went to lunch with our guy, Port. And the rest is history. So, like, you were the reason that I am where I am, which I could not be happier. I grew up in Fort Lauderdale, grew up in South Florida. I'm in here. It's 80 degrees out, not a cloud in the sky outside. So I owe it all to you for me getting back down to South Florida after living in New England for 5 years.
So what's really funny, I appreciate you say, it's not true. Like, you're there because you're awesome.
100% is. You were the linchpin. You were the seal. You sealed the deal.
What's really funny about that, so just to peel the curtain back a little bit. So this is 2017, maybe 2018.
Yep.
At the time.
2017.
So Kieran Portley, who was my boss at the time at CBS and ended up was Danny's boss also, like, tells me, like, Danny Cannell's coming in, like, we would do these things kind of in tandem together. Cause he, like, trusted my opinion. I trusted his opinion. He's like, I want you to come to lunch. Now, Our listeners and viewers know this about me. And if you're a new listener and viewer on Westwood One Sports, you will learn this in short order. I am a lifelong diehard New York Football Giants fan. And Danny, in 1997, quarterbacked the Giants in Jim Fossil's first year to the NFC East Championship. May have been the wild card weekend, lost to the Vikings, really stunk. But I got for Christmas that year, my mom still has it in her house on Long Island in New York. I got a Danny Cannell Giants jersey for Christmas that year in 1997. So Port tells me this, and I'm like, no way. Like, Danny, going to lunch with Danny Cannell? So for as good as that might have been for you, I promise you, when it's like sitting at that lunch was surreal for me. And I'm sorry to like fanboy out like that, but that's how I felt in the moment.
I love it. And then the Paul Rudd meme, look at us now.
Yeah. You know,
look at us now. Yeah. Look at us crushing it out here in the media space. Love it.
You guys and like Chip is a friend, like Cover 3 is sensational. And I encourage everybody to check that out. Dusty, I used to do Dusty's radio show in Oklahoma back in the day. He's killing it. Dusty and Danny on Sirius XM Channel 84, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern time. All right. I think we can, now that that's out of the way, we can talk some football here. I'm so excited for tonight and tomorrow. We'll start with tonight, with Ole Miss and Miami. I said yesterday, Danny, Miami's the better team, but Ole Miss has the X factor, the best player, Trinidad Chambliss. Miami, a 3.5-point favorite in the game as it stands right now at BetMGM, might come down to 3 before kickoff. We'll see. Total in the game, 52.5. How do you see this one playing out in the Fiesta Bowl, Ole Miss and Miami?
So, I like Miami. But that hook just kills me, right? The 3.5, because I do think it's going to be a close game. And if I like Miami, which I do, because I think they have the edge on the offensive and defensive lines. Line play is going to be so crucial in this game. Tempo is going to be important in this game because you have two total polar opposites as far as identity, what these teams want to do. Miami wants to run the football. They want to play great defense. They want to run Mark Fletcher. Carson Beck, don't screw it up, and they want to go slow. On the flip side, you got Ole Miss wants to go fast, fast, fast. They're 11th in the country in plays per game at 74.4, and they've got a quarterback. They're like, go win it for us, right? They're telling their quarterback the opposite of what Miami's telling Carson Beck. It's like, go be the hero. Go ahead, make those plays, just like he's done all season long and like he did against Georgia. But I do think Miami's defense has what it takes. So they have the speed. Like, I think they have the power and the speed. But Ruben Mayne and Akeem Mezidore coming off the edge have been awesome. And they have been harassing quarterbacks. They've got 12 sacks in this playoff alone. So I do think they will do a good enough job of containing Trinidad Chambliss. And so my favorite play in the game is the under. I like the under 52.5 because I think Miami wins. If I had to pick one, I would probably lay the 3.5. But I do think I could see like a 20-17, you know, maybe 21-17. It depends on where you are. So that number becomes huge to me. But I feel pretty good about the under. So, because I do think Miami's going to have some success slowing the game down. And Ole Miss, as good as they are, I think they'll score some points, but I don't think they're going to light up the scoreboard against this Miami team. So my favorite play is the under. I would lean towards Miami. I totally get it. If somebody said, well, if that's the case, let me take Ole Miss in the 3.5. I totally get that side. But I do like the Hurricanes.
I want to, before we move on to Oregon and Indiana, ask you about Trinidad Chambliss, because I think, you know, watching the Sugar Bowl last week against Georgia, I think a lot of people probably had the same experience I did watching that game where, like, we
who's
all know
guy?
Trinidad. I think, like I know what you're saying. Like, I know who he is because, like, I do the show, but a lot of people, that was his introduction on the national stage. But I'll say this, like, I knew who he was. I'm kind of like, man, I didn't know he's this. So I'm watching the game, and I never played, right? And I'm not grinding the All-22. I'm not an NFL draft expert. He looked to me like a guy that's going to play on Sundays and maybe get drafted early whenever he declares. You actually played in the NFL. Do you see that for Trinidad Chambliss whenever he declares for the NFL draft?
I do. You know who he reminds me of? He reminds me a little bit of a bigger Kyler Murray, you know, and not quite as twitchy, but he clearly has escapability. He clearly has the improvisational skills. So yes, I do think he will. And I think potentially, because I don't see him going in the first round because of the lack of success that even Cam Ward had last year, like shorter, more athletic quarterbacks have had. So I think he could drop to the second or even the third. man, that is the sweet spot for me. If I find a quarterback that I really, really like a lot, maybe everybody else is a little bit cooled on and I don't have a top five pick and I can't get Mendoza or Dante Moore, who always come with such high variability. Even those two top quarterbacks, one of them's going to be a bust. Like history tells you, and I don't even know which one it's going to be. One of them's going to be a bust, and then you're on the hook, and you know, you're kind of attached to him. You have to play years because you got to give him that chance because you took him with a top five pick. You get a guy like Trinidad Chambliss in the second or third round, I think of Jalen Hurts. I really liked him coming out of college. Eagles picked him up in the second round. Like, I like that risk. It's not too risky. You could get an upside. And while he's like, Trinidad Chambliss is not Jalen Hurts, he's way more of a playmaker. I think that's where the sweet spot would be for me, where I would be more than comfortable taking Trinidad Chambliss in the second or even third round, saying, all right, we can put him on a really good team with a good roster, maybe even have him back up somebody who's older. Like, think of Pittsburgh Steelers. If they brought back Aaron Rodgers for another year, I think that'd be a great spot for him. Something along those lines. I think you could have a franchise quarterback on your hands.
And we'll see. Chambliss, I think, is trying to get like a waiver extension to play at Ole Miss next year. May not. That's kind of still up in the air. That, I think, man, I love that for the Steelers if they were to do that. And we'll see what happens tonight with Chambliss, if he can improve his draft stock against Miami. All right, let's move to tomorrow night. And I think it's the national championship game in the Peach Bowl. I think winner of this game will win the Natty. Maybe you think Miami can beat either of these teams. I don't see it. Kurt Cignetti in Indiana, 3.5-point favorite against Oregon. We're kind of in between 3.5 and 4. Total in the game's 48.5. Do you see it that way, that winner of this game wins the Natty? And who do you like on Friday night in the Peach Bowl?
I do. I had in my bracket when I came up with these, I had Miami facing Oregon in the national championship. So I've been very bullish on Oregon since the final 3 weeks of the season, 4 weeks of the season. I think they're a really talented roster. Now, I was in Miami. I was at the Orange Bowl, saw them against Texas Tech. And I must say, I left a little underwhelmed. I was hoping for a better performance, specifically from the offense. It was a little bit sloppy. You know, they only put up 23 points, but the good news is their defense was lights out. Like, their defense was spectacular. Pitched a shutout, picked off Baron Morton a couple times. And as much as I like Dante Moore, he has not had sort of that game. Like, he did have a good throw against Iowa. He had a drive at the end of the Iowa game in the rain. It was a phenomenal throw to Malik Benson. Like, one of the best throws of the year. But I try to go back and say, which game did Dante Moore play great from start to finish? And I can't think of it. And so I was kind of banking on him kind of peaking at this time. And if he still does, I'll be right in my prediction because I do think he's that good. But I am a little bit worried. So I kind of, in this game, similar to last one, I know it's no fun. Fans want to play the over. I like the under, but it's a little bit lower. So I'm a little bit more concerned about it. I like the under, but I do like the Ducks because I do think their defense can keep them in it. They actually ran the ball in the first game pretty well with Noah Whittington. I know their backup running back is out, but they have a ton of depth. They got De'Aaron Hill, a young freshman who's been really good for them. So I do like the Ducks, especially since it is 3.5. I think this game will be more similar to the Big Ten championship game where Indiana, Ohio State, a lot of great athletes on the field, but they tackle so well, both of these teams. So I do like the Ducks getting the 3.5. I would even sprinkle a little money line because of the factor that it is hard to beat a team twice. I do think Oregon was surprised by the physicality the first time in the regular season at Autzen. It was Dante Moore's first really big game at home that he had to play against that type of caliber of opponent. I think he'll play cleaner. So I do. I'm going to go kind of with that mindset that it is hard to beat a team twice.
How are we just going to gloss over the fact that you had Miami, Oregon in the national championship game prior to the playoff starting? Like, that's pretty unbelievable. You just kind of like snuck that in there. If I were you, I'd be like, I would have that like tattooed on my forehead at this time of year. No one had Miami in the national championship game.
So, couple things. One, I don't ever like to celebrate until it's done. You know, like, okay, I don't want to pound my chest now and then they both lose and it doesn't mean anything. So thankfully, it was a clip on CBS Sports HQ on their social account. I think it's College Football CBS, their account on Instagram. They did clip it. And so, like, I've got it there ready for me. And a bunch of Miami fans, because I was pounding the table for Miami to get into the playoff. And one of the things I thought, and I really believe this, was if they got the opportunity, they could do some damage. because at one point they were 6-0 and everybody, not me, everybody in the country was like, this could be a national champion. And then because of a loss against Louisville, which their quarterback threw four interceptions, they still only lost by a field goal. And another game they lost on the road to a really good SMU team with a late interception in overtime. And everybody just wrote them off. Ah, they must be awful. I don't think those were awful losses. In fact, I think they're losses you can learn and grow from. And so they kind of found that identity. And I still think they have all those players that everybody thought could be the number one team in the country, but bailed on them. I think they're the closest thing to last year's Ohio State team that we have. Remember Ohio State, 10-2, left out, disappointing loss to Michigan, but they got hot at the right time. That to me is what it feels like. This Miami team has a very clear identity. They're going all out. Like I do think they're the team that's probably playing with the most momentum. Indiana's hard to argue against. I mean, they haven't slowed down at all. But as far as somebody who's dealt with some adversity, I think Miami's right there.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You Better You Bet here, Westwood One Sports on a Thursday. Nick Costos here with you. Our guest, Danny Cannell from the Cover 3 podcast, CBS Sports HQ, Dusty and Danny on Sirius XM Channel 84, doing great work with our friends over at Bet Online. Couple more minutes with Danny on Twitter at Danny Cannell. So we talked about this off air, right? One of your, and I don't know your relationship with Michael Strahan, who you played with the New York Football Giants. So I thought, and just to say this, I think I disagree with your take, but reasonable minds can disagree. You also played the position. Like, and Danny questions on CBS Sports HQ if Jackson Dart is definitely the answer for the Giants, which is a very fair thing to say. I kind of think, at the very least, he's earned an opportunity to start in week one. I'm a little bullish on Jackson Dart. I thought that was a totally reasonable take by you. And Giants fans are up in arms about it because somehow Giants fans have become the most sensitive fan base in all of sports. You got Jackson Dart's dad calling you out. It's like, slow down, buddy. And then Michael Strahan takes a shot at you, right? And maybe it's tongue-in-cheek. I don't know your relationship with him. He said, Strahan, about you, Danny played two good games and got a new contract. Relax there, Danny. Now, I was there at the wild card game in a minute. You won the division, so this is more than just two good games. What do you want to say right now to your former teammate, Michael Strahan, and what did you feel about what he said about you?
First of all, I would say two games is pretty complimentary because I was very average. Like, I don't know. It's hard to find one great game that I had. So I think he was being pretty complimentary. I always had a great relationship with Strahan. I haven't talked to him. Like, we haven't stayed in touch. I've done some interviews with him, and he's always been pretty good to me on air. I do remember us. There was always a back and forth. He was on the defense side. I was on the offensive side of the ball. And even I was on the Falcons. He was playing for the Giants. I came in. Chris Chandler gets hurt. And he's running after me. He's like, I'm going to get you. You can't wear that red jersey anymore because he had a different color jersey. I'm not like non-contact. And so I was live and he kept getting very frustrated because I kept throwing the ball away. And so he's chasing me down. He's like, damn it, stop throwing the ball away. Like, kind of laughing. So I think it's one of those things where I don't take much personally at all. I think it was a cheap shot, but I think it was kind of funny. Like, I get it. So I don't have that big of a problem with it. But what I am blown away by is what you said. The thing, like, you would have thought that I said Jackson Dart was the next Jamarcus Russell or Ryan Leaf. Like, and I didn't say anywhere close to that. You clearly have seen some really good things from Jackson Dart this season, but I need to see more. And I am one of the slowest to get on board because how many times have we seen great players have one good season and then all of a sudden either get paid in some circumstances and they never recover that, or they have a sophomore slump. They, you know, they're just not all the expectations, because after a year of game tape, every defense that Jackson Dart is going to face next year is going to be ready for his running. Like, and I know, like, why can't you do that in the season? There's just not enough time, and games aren't specifically game planning that much for it. And sometimes they think, well, is that an anomaly? Now that they know, they will be geared up to stop him as a runner. And again, at times, he played really good the last couple games of the season, threw the ball pretty well, but a lot of his plays are improvisation, getting out of the pocket. That's not a way that's sustainable in the NFL. So I want to see him win more from the pocket. The other thing I want to see is who the heck his head coach is going to be. He's already learning his second system in the NFL, which is a big challenge. Nobody understands how mentally tough that is on somebody. I get he's getting Malik Nabers back, but he's going to lose some other pieces. It's a whole new team. It's a new organization, new culture when you get a new coaching staff. So I think there's more than enough reason to be like, I don't know. And that's essentially what I was saying. Like, I don't think you or Strahan or everyone else who is bullish would be like, yeah, let's give him an extension. Like, no one's that bullish on him. And I get the optimism, but I'm just not as quite sure as everybody else. And so, I don't know. I thought the overreaction, I mean, Giants fans, they are trashing me online, saying I'm the worst quarterback in the history of the franchise.
Well, can I ask you this? Which is, and let me tell you, I've been watching the Giants for almost four decades. Danny is far from the worst quarterback. I mean, not even like the top five worst quarterbacks of the 90s that played for the Giants. Like Dave Brown would probably be number one on that list for yours truly. No disrespect to Dave Brown. Last thing, just in like 30 seconds here, I'll defend you to Giants. Like, Danny won the division. Like, that, it is a thing that happened. You can't take that away.
The defense won the division.
What would you say? Well, you were the quarterback. Like, it happened. Like, I saw it happen with my own eyes. What would you like to say in 30 seconds to I'll say it for you, and then I'd like your reaction. I think Giants fans give you way too hard a time. What would you like to say to what I can say, and I'm part of it, a very sensitive fan base?
I like the passion. I'd rather see a fan base that cares that doesn't. I played in Atlanta. When you were bad, nobody showed up. Like, I do think the passion is awesome. I'm not asking for anything. I love the fan base. Like, and that, you know, when I see them in person, they're always very cordial. They remember that 97 season. So there's nothing really offensive that I take to it. I understand. But trust me, I think this is years of pent-up frustration, which I'm experiencing as well, and you are too, of why can't this franchise figure it out as far as coach, quarterback, GM, all of it. And I get the frustration. Just don't make me the brunt of it. That's all I ask. There you go.
I'll tell you, like 95, 96 with Dan Reeves missing the playoffs a couple times, win the NFC East. This is five. I get the frustration. I think it's very misguided. You're the best. Yeah. Cover 3 podcast, CBS Sports HQ, Dusty and Danny on Sirius XM, doing great work for our friends over at Bet Online. Don't be a stranger. Appreciate you, and I'll talk to you soon.
You got it, Nick. Great catching up.
Danny Cannell joining us here on You Better, You Bet. And then I'll take credit for Danny's career at CBS. He wants to give it to me. I appreciate that very much. Love Danny. Great work by Danny Cannell. Joey Kanish, Pro Sports Better, will join us at the end of the hour. He'll give us his best bets for the semifinal rounds of the college football playoff. But on the other side, we will debut a brand new segment here on You Better, You Bet on Westwood One Sports. We're going to play a lot of sound. We will react to the sound. I've done a poor job, I think, promoting it. It's coming up next, and I promise it'll be way better than my tease.
We'll be right back with You Better, You Bet on Westwood One Sports.